Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good evening. Dr. Gerald Pfeiffer here with Medical Frontiers and here with Rob Pratt. How are you tonight, bro?
I'm looking forward to tonight's show. I'm fine, sir.
Yeah, we're just talking. The evenings are a little cooler. The days are getting a little shorter. I must mean that fall is around the corner, huh?
Just around the corner, and that means Friday Night Football. The Allegheny Health Sports Network Friday Night Lights begins August 26th, Mount Lebanon. At Gateway, looking forward to it.
Yeah, the Steelers looked pretty good on offense there, you know.
I see a future in that young man wearing number 8.
I think so, yeah.
I do.
Well, he certainly didn't do anything to
hurt himself.
That was negative. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, Medical Frontiers. Today we're talking about lung cancer, and we're very fortunate to have Dr. Benny Wexler as our guest. And he's hooked up by phone. I hope, Dr. Wexler, how are you?
I'm well. Can you hear me well?
I can hear you very well, yes. And welcome back to Medical Frontiers. And lung cancer, and I'll let the audience know that you are a thoracic surgeon. You're actually chief of the thoracic surgery effort at Allegheny Health Network and Allegheny General Hospital. And you specialize in things that are wrong with the lung that can be handled surgically and also the esophagus and so on. So Dr. Wexler is a highly trained physician. He does a lot of minimally invasive type surgical procedures for the lung, the esophagus, and so on. So we'll talk more about that as we go. But lung cancer, it is still one of the most common cancers that we can acquire, is it not?
Yes. So lung cancer is the number one death-causing cancer in the United States among men and women. And it kills more people than the next three cancers, which are breast, colorectal, and pancreas. So it's very, very common and highly lethal if not detected early.
Okay. And one of the early detection techniques that we've talked about before is the sort of the quick CAT scan. And is that still for individuals who are 50 years of age or older who have been at least pack-a-day smokers? Is that still regulation as far as that is concerned, as far as insurance companies paying for it?
Yes, absolutely. So the current guidelines suggest that patients who are 50 years or older, and that's new guidelines. The previous guideline was 55, so that was lowered 5 years.
Okay.
Who had smoked at least one pack a day for 20 years or 1.5 packs for 12 or 13 years qualify for screening, for lung cancer screening. And it's a really simple, very quick test. The CT takes 30 seconds or so and has very low radiation to the patient. That's why we call it low-dose CT. So
I would assume, Dr. Wexler, since the age was dropped from 55 to 50, that they were turning up, or you folks were turning up more cancers, and so it was decided to lower the age by by 5 years. Is that the case? And what is the percentage of cancers that you pick up in the screenings that you see in your practice?
So the age was lowered because it became clear that the original guidelines were too conservative, and we were missing patients who were younger who still were at high risk for cancer and were not having early detection. So, you know, many of those patients will go on and have and be diagnosed with a late disease, which is not good. Your second question was in regards to the percentage of patients from screening that we detect with lung cancer.
Yes.
So this is between 4% and 5% of patients that undergo screening and we see a lung nodule that turns out to be lung cancer. And, you know, it is possible that our listeners may find this number relatively low, but what we need to keep in mind that even with this low number, lung cancer screening has decreased mortality from lung cancer by over 20%. So it's a very effective screening tool in decreasing mortality in the patient population that we are seeking. As you said, 50 years old,
yes,
or older, who had smoked one pack a day for 20 years, about.
Yes. Okay. What is the smallest lesion that can be picked up on a CAT scan? And maybe talk a little bit about the difference between doing a regular chest X-ray and a CAT scan.
So the smallest lesion that we can pick up on a low-dose CT is about 4 millimeters, which is about 0.2 inches. So it's very small. On a chest X-ray, for example, the earliest lesion that we can detect is about 3/4 of an inch. And even at that size, we don't detect all of them. The difference between the chest X-ray and the CT is that the chest X-ray is, imagine like a photograph. It's a two-dimensional photograph. The CT gives you the third dimension, and we can see images kind of in three dimensions. The amount of radiation, believe it or not, that goes into a low-dose CT is similar or less than the amount of radiation in a simple chest X-ray. So the test is highly effective and with very low risk.
Okay, let's say somebody is 50 years old, they've been a smoker, and with this screening you pick up a small nodule in the lung. Let's say it's 5-6 millimeters, something like that. And if that's all they have, the chances of a cure with that with somebody are pretty high, I would think.
Yeah, so anything between or anything less than 2 centimeters, and 2 centimeters is just under 1 inch, a nodule that's less than an inch in size, the chances of cure with surgery are close to 90%. It's about 85-87%. And that's really, this is as good as it gets. I mean, there's nothing else performs better in terms of lung cancer cure.
Right. So that's why early diagnosis is super, super important. We do need to take a break. We're talking about lung cancer this evening, and our guest is Dr. Benny Wexler. Dr. Wexler is a thoracic surgeon who has a high-level training and expertise in lung cancer and other maladies of the lung. So give us a call, 866-391-1020. If you have questions about lung cancer, if you have had lung cancer and you've had treatment for lung cancer, we would love to hear your story. 866-391-1020. We'll be back. We're back on Medical Frontiers. We're talking about lung cancer this evening with Dr. Benny Wexler. So give us a call at 866-391-1020. And as Dr. Wexler said, it is the most common cancer and the most deadly cancer, number one in the United States. So if you'd like more information, 866-391-1020. Now, as far as treatment is concerned, let's take that 50-year-old man who has been a smoker, and you find a small lesion in his lung. What is the next step? Are there other tests that need to be done before surgery or other treatment?
Yes. So usually, if the lesion is more than a centimeter. Let me put it differently. If the lesion is smaller, like the 6 millimeter you describe, and that's the first scan, the first screening, usually we would not jump to do anything. We would repeat the CAT scan in 3 or 6 months. And if the lesion changes in size, which often it does, for example, it will grow in 3 months or 6 months from 6 to 8 millimeters, then we need to treat. However, for larger lesions, larger than 1 centimeter, which is about half an inch, we often will request a PET CT, and that's a different test, very specific to cancer, that will show us if the cancer has traveled to lymph nodes or anywhere else. And although in small lesions that happens rarely, we still need to check. After the PET scan, if there are no disease elsewhere, at Allegheny Health Network, we were the first in the region to use ion bronchoscopy, which is a robotic bronchoscope that we have at Allegheny General Hospital. And with it, we make precise diagnosis of the lung cancer. So this equipment allow us to do minimally invasive biopsies, meaning biopsies without cutting, without sticking needle in the chest. And after the biopsy is done, then if the lesion is shown to be cancer, then we offer treatment. And the most effective treatment, as I've mentioned before, is surgery for lung cancer, in which that nodule is removed together with lymph nodes that are sitting around that nodule, and all of it is sent to pathology for analysis.
And so a complete pneumonectomy is not necessary in that case. It would just be excision with minimally invasive of that nodule and the lymph nodes in the area. So the patient would still have most of their lung.
Oh, absolutely. So, and thank you for asking this. Pneumonectomy, meaning removal of the whole lung, is very, very, very rare nowadays. We are specializing more and more in removing less and less lung for lung cancer. And there are several studies now showing that this is effective. At the Allegheny Health Network, we use the Da Vinci robot to do the majority of our surgeries, and those surgeries are done minimally invasive, so there is no cutting the chest open and spreading ribs and cracking ribs. None of this we do. About close to 99% of our patients have surgery with the robot or with minimally invasive techniques. And this is really allow patients to go home earlier and go back to their usual activities earlier. For example, our median length of stay is between 2 and 3 days after this surgery, when nationally the median length of stay is between 5 and 6 days. So this is the way to go in terms of surgery for lung cancer. Performing it minimally invasive, returning the patients home earlier and having them enjoy life to the fullest also earlier.
That length of stay, how would you compare that, like if a patient needed a pneumonectomy, removing one entire lung, as far as length of stay in the hospital?
So pneumonectomy, which again we do extremely rarely, would usually stay in the hospital about 6 days.
Okay.
That's not, again, not a common procedure anymore. It used to be the most common procedure for lung cancer, you know, 50, 60 years ago, but not anymore.
Okay, so we talked about stage one. That's where there's no spread to other parts of the body. What if there is a spread? Then what is the next step in that 50-year-old man?
So it really depends on where it's spread and the stage. So stage one, we talked about surgery. Stage two, in which the nodule is either a little bigger or has spread to the lymph nodes, we often, and that's the current guidelines, and we follow the guidelines at Allegheny Health Network, we often offer patients preoperative chemotherapy and immunotherapy. And immunotherapy encourages the patient's own immune system to fight the cancer. And then after that, they receive the same minimally invasive operation. The treatment for stage three is similar for most patients. There is a subgroup of patients with stage three in which surgery is not possible or not effective.
Okay.
And those patients then go for chemotherapy and radiation, followed again with immunotherapy that makes the body fight the cancer. And this is highly effective. It's worth mentioning that treatment for lung cancer, even in advanced disease, have changed a lot in recent years, and survival has improved a lot. So this treatment is very effective for patients with stage three that cannot undergo surgery. Finally, and stage three usually are lymph nodes that are involved in the chest, depending on the location, or tumors that are too big and are invading vital structures. Finally, for stage four, which is disease that spread beyond the chest, for example, to the bones or liver, then currently the first line of treatment is immunotherapy as well. And it is also very, very effective, and patients survive relatively long times, even with advanced disease.
How about radiation therapy? Is that also sometimes used with the upper stages?
Yes. So for, like I mentioned, for stage, usually for stage three, patients that cannot undergo surgery, they undergo chemotherapy plus radiation, and that is followed by immunotherapy.
Okay.
On early stage patients, the stage one, patients that don't want surgery or for some reason are too sick for surgery, there is a modality of radiation therapy called SBRT that is a substitute to surgery, and it works for patients. It's not quite as effective as surgery, but it is very effective.
Okay. Well, we need to take a break. This is Medical Frontiers, 866-391-1020. We'll be back after the break. Okay, we are back on Medical Frontiers with Dr. Benny Wexler. We're talking about lung cancer this evening, 866-391-1020, and we have one caller, Matt from Leechburg. Matt, do you have a question?
Yeah, I have a question. So I'm concerned about a lymphedema in the arm, in the left arm, and with the imaging dye scan. Could that diagnose lung cancer, or could that be a cause of the lymphedema?
Okay. How about that, Dr. Wexler? Did you see lymphedema with cancer?
You can see it with some cancers. There outside of my area of expertise, but not with lung cancer. It's very, very unlikely that your symptoms are caused by lung cancer, sir.
All right. Well, thank you.
Okay. And we don't know why Matt had the lymphedema, but you can see lymphedema after breast cancer, and especially if the nodes from the armpit have been removed. Sometimes women will get lymphedema, but there's less of that than there used to be, and from what I've seen, and there are treatments for lymphedema also. So good question, and if anyone else has a question, 866-391-1020. From the standpoint of overall, you say that the survival rate with somebody who has a small lesion, less than a half inch, and they've had surgical treatment, 90% cure rate. What about overall, take all comers with lung cancer? Is the survival rate improving if you look at the whole population of people who have lung cancer?
Yeah, so survival from lung cancer is improving, and recently, I believe in 2020 or 2021, I think it's 2020 though, there was a report on cancer mortality in the United States, which had the biggest drop in decades, and the majority of that drop in mortality was attributed to improved lung cancer survival and decreasing in smoking among U.S. population. So the overall survival with lung cancer is not great. And when we talk about overall survival, we mean 5 years right after diagnosis. And that is usually below 35 to 40%.
Okay.
So overall survival is not good. That's why it's so important to get early detection,
absolutely,
meaning lung cancer screening.
Absolutely. Let's go to Al in Ross Township. Good evening, Al. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hi, doctors. Good evening. I'm a 73-year-old male. I smoked from the time I was 17 years old to the time I was 27. So I have quit smoking for 46 years. But maybe about 15, 20 years ago, I had a chest x-ray, and I guess they detected some lung nodules. And at the time, they didn't think it was anything serious. But about 3 years ago, I had another chest x-ray for something, and it was large. It was maybe 6 millimeters, something like that. And shame on me, but I didn't go for my follow-up CT scan in 7 months because of COVID. But I'm going to get religion, get it very soon. But my question is, what is the name of this 30-second CT scan? What do you call it, or how is it prescribed?
Dr. Wexler.
So the name of it is low-dose CT, often known by the abbreviation LDCT. Low-dose CT, LDCT. It is prescribed by your primary care or your lung doctor and you may well qualify for it, sir, but from what you just mentioned to us, you probably don't qualify for it. Your smoking history was not enough to justify a low-dose CT. However, if you have a lung nodule and that lung nodule has increased in size, then you for sure should have it checked. And in that case, we often do normal, regular CTs to follow the nodule.
Yeah, that was the reason for my question, because the CT scan that I've been putting off, I have prescriptions as CT chest without contrast. Would that be the test that you would recommend?
So, yes, if one of my patients had a growing nodule, that would be the test that I recommend.
Okay. And the fact that I quit smoking 46 years ago and I'm still kicking, that doesn't mean I can't get cancer, I guess, from my smoking history.
So from what we know, the risk for lung cancer disappears and go back to the same risk as the general population 20 years after you quit smoking.
Okay.
Having said that, what many people don't know that lung cancer in non-smokers, and you at this point would be classified and as a non-smoker, lung cancer in non-smoker is increasing in incidence in the United States and in the world. And if it were to be a separate group of cancer, it would be the fifth most common cancer in the United States. So although uncommon in the population of lung cancer, it is something that, we can't forget about. It can happen.
Okay. And one last question. These nodules, I've done a little reading and so forth. I guess some of them are non-cancerous and some of them can turn into cancer. But what causes the non-cancerous nodules if it's not due to someone never smoked or whatever? Where are these nodules coming from or what causes them?
So firstly, thank you. Great question. Many, many people have lung nodules, small lung nodules that have been there, and we don't necessarily know the origin of those. But the most common causes for those benign lung cancers are old infections by different yeast organisms or even some bacteria, and they just remain there as a small scar that look like a nodule.
Okay, good. Okay,
thank you very much, Al, for the call. We appreciate it. This is Medical Frontiers, 866-391-1020. We need to take a break, and you can get in touch with us and get in the line, and we'll take your questions after the break. So hold on, Judy. We'll take your call after we come back. We're back on Medical Frontiers talking about lung cancer tonight with Dr. Benny Wexler, who is a thoracic surgeon and a specialist in taking care of conditions such as lung cancer. Let's go right to our phone line. Judy, thanks for holding on. Judy from Cannonsburg, good evening.
Good evening. I'm so glad I get to ask this question. I'm curious as to whether or not individuals that have issues in their lungs that has been caused by mold and other types of carcinogens, whether the damage that is done to the lungs could possibly turn cancerous.
Okay, Dr. Wexler, how about that? Is mold a carcinogen, as she asked?
So, to the best of our knowledge, mold is not one of the lung carcinogens. And to the best of our ability to understand the disease, that's not it.
Why does it damage the lungs?
Correct. Mold can damage the lung membrane. You're absolutely right. And often the damage that mold causes to the lung is just as severe as having cancer. It is possible, although uncommon. But it's not a risk for lung cancer. There are other risks of lung cancer, of things that we don't know. For example, radon gas, that it's not uncommon in Western Pennsylvania. So that's a risk for lung cancer in non-smokers. But mold by itself is not.
The things that you come in contact with, and I never hear warnings out about this.
You say as far as mold is concerned?
Different types of materials pressed wood made from what is it called? You know, when you grind up wood?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, yeah, I think that what Dr. Wexler is saying is that there are various things that can cause lung problems other than cancer. And so, I think that's something you need to talk over with your primary care physician. And if you need to see a specialist, that arrangement could be made. Thank you very much for the call. What about, we know that radon is pretty prevalent here in western Pennsylvania because we have a lot of shale in our substructure and so on. And is there any, and it's very important to test for radon, and you can get a kit to do that, put it in your basement, and see if you have radon leaking into your house. But is that pretty significant, Dr. Wexler, as far as a relationship between radon and lung cancer?
It is significant, but not to the same extent as smoking. And I think this needs to be said pretty clearly. The number one risk of lung cancer is cigarette smoking. And that will account for close to 90% of all patients with lung cancer. Radon may account for 1 to 2% of patients with lung cancer. So it is a risk, there's no doubt.
Okay.
But compared to smoking, it's a relatively small risk. Not that it should be ignored.
Right.
As you said, we need to test for it and make sure that we don't have it. But it's not as strong as smoking for lung cancer.
Okay, how about smoking cessation programs? I know, does AHN still have some smoking cessation programs to help people who are smokers and need to and want to quit?
Yeah, so our smoking cessation program, which is run by our excellent Department of Pulmonary Medicine, is geared toward patients who have COPD, which is really the majority of patients that smoke for a long time. And this is offered and can be arranged. Overall, there are several smoking cessation programs that are sponsored by the state. And frankly, every person nowadays, or most people, have a primary care physician. And the primary care physicians are also very knowledgeable in assisting people to quit smoking, and there are medications and other interventions that can be used to allow people to stop smoking.
Mm-hmm. And that's very, very important, as you say. It is the most prevalent reason that you see lung cancer is because of smoking, and we don't want to forget about those other things, but it's far and away the most common reason is that patients have smoked. And what about in the future? What do you see out there in 10, 15 years? We have about a minute. As far as improving diagnosis and treatment for lung cancer.
So I don't know if it's 10 or 15 years away, maybe more. But what I foresee is a day in which we will be screening patients with minimal radiation, even less than a low-dose CT. If they have a nodule, we do a blood test that will tell us if the chances are high or small of that nodule being cancer. And then instead of surgery, doing some treatment through the mouth in which we can burn that lesion, and that's it. So that's how my hopes are for the future.
And I think that would cover other cancers also. I think that we always are hoping that right there, we can have a blood test that can give us a lot of information. So thanks so much for being our guest this evening, Dr. Wexler. Really appreciate it. And we have to say good night, good health, and we'll be back in 1 week.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.